Welcome back to the Breakthrough Podcast. My name is Omar Muhammad, helping you improve and progress in business and in life. The Breakthrough Podcast is all about discovering new pathways and is brought to you by the Maryland Minority Business Development Agency out of Washington, D.C., and of course, EDAC at Morgan State University. And for those who are not familiar, EDAC is the Entrepreneurial Development and Assistance Center. I'm Omar Muhammad. Over there is my co-host, Leon Robinson, the fourth.
Hey, Leon. Hey, what's going on, brother? How you feeling?
Improving and progressing, man. How about yourself?
Man, it's a blessing just to be here, man. I'm excited about our next session, definitely.
All right, good deal. All right, so before we get to our special guest, I do want to let you know that you can go onto our website, edacmorgan.com. That's E-D-A-C, morgan.com. And over there, you'll see past episodes of the Breakthrough Podcast. This is really episode number 44. So we've been providing some great content over the last couple of years. So you'll see the podcast, you'll see the Ride U, and it's really just 10 minutes or less of resources to help you start, operate, and grow your business. We also have a relationship with the Returning Citizens Magazine. We just started that partnership back in March. So we do an article, we highlight some returning citizens, and they promoted, we really provide content to their magazine. So you'll see the past issues there. And we have an event coming up. We call it the Ride Impact Event. And that's going to be August the 20th from 10 to 2 o'clock. It's going to be hybrid. So for those individuals who can't make it to the location we're going to be at, which is going to be at the Cube Cowork on Hartford Road, we'll be there for the event. So some of the topics will be access to capital, family reunification. We'll have someone talking about skill development. So it's going to be a real opportunity, opportunities for some impact and for you to meet some of the individuals who have been on a podcast, as well as through the Entrepreneurship Bootcamp. So I know that's a lot. That's why you can go into the website. You can find out more information there. Yep, and we also are on IG at Ride Small Biz. And with that said, I want to bring to the Breakthrough Podcast. Now, I know you put Marty on there. So do you prefer Marty or Martin?
Marty is fine. Yeah, Marty is fine.
Marty McNair. Hey, bro, welcome to the Breakthrough Podcast. How are you?
Hey, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Thanks for being here. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yep. So one of the things that we start off with first is, you know, how long have you been home? And then when you returned home, did you think entrepreneurship or were you thinking entrepreneurship?
Well, for me, it's actually been, wow. I'm glad I got a lot of my experiences out the way as a younger man, you know. So it's been literally maybe 25, 26 years for me. Okay. And to answer your question, Omar, basically, man, you know, when I came home, you know, I remember, man, literally standing in the yard. And, you know, when you're young, you know, you know, I remember standing in the yard, and I talk about this in my book, man, and me and three other cats were standing in the yard. Everybody was really talking about their plans when they got home, you know, and it's like when I go back uptown, man, and, you know, cats was really like, you know, this is, you know, you figure all of us like in our mid-20s, you know, I might have been 27, 28, you know, at that time, and I went into 25, and man, guys were really just saying like, man, you know, I got another run in me. I got this in me, like, I got another run in the game with me. You know, I'm gonna go home and get some money. And my thing was, you know, I had a substance abuse problem. So my challenge was, or my main focus was, man, I gotta go home and stay clean. That was my number one priority at this point. You know, it was like, long as I stay clean, everything else would come together. So when I came home, I knew that was really one of my biggest challenges, you know, really. And I was just very, very focused on what my plan was. You know, and my plan was to, at that particular time in my life, was follow some of this instruction that all these people I had heard coming in and out of the prisons in regards to self-help and AA and NA and things like that. It was like everybody was saying they had a template. The day you go home, go straight to a meeting. And man, that was really the thing that I was very focused on, my recovery at that point, you know. So really entrepreneurship really wasn't the primary focus at that time. However, you know, my recovery definitely was at that time.
I appreciate you sharing.
Wow, 20 years. Wow. It's a long time.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I came home and never looked back, man. But, you know, the interesting thing, you know, really depending, I came up in the 80s. And, you know, the misinformed rites of passage in the manhood were very, very distorted. And, you know, what I mean by distorted was because, you know, really you look at some cultures and, you know, really you may have to go out and to become a man, you had to go out and do certain things. You might have to, if you're in the jungle, you may have to go out and kill a lion or something to that effect, or somewhere else you may get tattoos or, you know, some type of body markings. And I think, you know, really in Baltimore City or many, many subcultures in America, in a city communities, you know, you had the three rites of passage to a man were you had to get arrested, you know, so your friends wouldn't know you wouldn't snitch on them. You had to go to jail. And if nobody took advantage of you or did anything to you sideways, you know, that was another thing. And then the other thing, you had to show you could fight. You know, you could fight, bang a gun, all these unrealistic things in that microcosm of the world. But those were very, very realistic things at that time. But they were very, very distorted. And our misinformation just unfortunately caused so many of us our lives at that time because we all wanted to expedite the process of manhood, in a sense, the wrong way.
The wrong way. Absolutely. Absolutely. So Marty, so what led you to entrepreneurship?
A scarlet letter, right? and this is 1,000% total honesty, man. I got tired of writing a letter of me explaining how I paid my debt to society, or I got tired of checking the box. And whenever that, you know, you might feel good about a job or a position, and soon as you know, you're doing that online application or you're doing it, and soon as you check the box, have you ever been incarcerated, blah, 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 blah. Now I got to explain what I already paid my debt to society. And now I got to go around and I had all these community leaders and all these things vouch for my credibility. And I'm like, man, you know what? Later for that, man. Like, you know, I was forced into entrepreneurship because I didn't want to let somebody else let their had control or their decision dictated what my life or my destiny would be or my level of success would be.
And you know, what was that thing that not forced you, but what is that your business? You know, so talk about, you know, what business you're in. I know you have another business, but you know, you can talk about as many businesses as you want.
Yeah, no. So let me tell you, you know, really how I even got to where I'm at now. I've always been an entrepreneur, man. So you name it, I've had clothing stores. I've had this. I've sold insurance. I sold cars. You know, I was always a self-motivator. You know, I always had a mentality, if I don't kill it, I'm not going to eat it. And so I've always kind of had I was always a good self-starter. You know, I'm a guy that took the real estate test 7 times before I passed it. But the big thing about prison for me was the interesting thing. This is really going to sound crazy. My mindset was if I could complete a prison sentence, I could do anything. Wow. Because technically beyond high school, that was really the first thing I've ever completed.
That's true.
You know, I went to college, didn't complete that, you know, and then when I, you know, that was one of the things, man, if I complete them little 3.5 years that I did, man. And it was like, man, I can do anything at this point.
Do anything. You know, right.
You know, and that's the mentality, or that's really an advantage that a person, you know, coming home from incarceration, that's one of the big advantages that they have, because, you know, really, if you completed a significant amount of time, obviously, you know how to deal with adversity. You know, obviously, you know how to navigate around eggshells in Vietnam and things of that nature. And clearly, you know, you have a lot of skills that, you know, you may not even, you just take for granted in a sense. But that was really my thing. So I figured, man, you know, if I can complete that, I can complete anything. Like I said, I'm the guy that took the real estate exam 7 times before I passed it. You know, it was only the Maryland law part that just snagged me 6 times straight. But, you know, because and the thing with that was I had an insurance license. So I kept trying to confuse the insurance commission and the real estate commission is the same. And, you know, finally, but again, the learning lesson from that was, okay, maybe I should get some additional reading materials, you know, prior to the 6th time. Let me do that as soon as I finish the course or whatever. So at that particular time, you know, I did a variety of businesses, but really, you know, I threw enough things against the wall to make them stick. But really where I really made an impact was back in 2013, me and a business partner, we stayed together for like 8 years, literally. We just wanted to help some people, man. And we opened up some male transitional houses. Mm-hmm. And while we were in the process of getting a nonprofit kicked in, and I was still, you know, working some circles and with a different crowd of folks that I normally hung with. And, you know, really a lot of the hunger releasees were getting out at that time. You know, all of the lifers in Maryland were getting out and they needed housing. So we got into that space, man, a reentry, man. And really it just evolved from reentry. And then we got into the space of everybody, not all of the reentry guys, but everybody that came through our program at that particular time usually had three things going on with them. They had a mental health problem, they had a behavioral health problem, they had a substance abuse problem. So while we were in the process of outsourcing people, like, well, you got to go to treatment if you stand in here. And when we start visiting outpatient programs, one of the things that we realized that they needed, their challenge was retention. Mm. How do we get these people to come back every day? And then what we realized was we got housing. So that's how you get them to come. We had the magic, formula at that point. We had housing. So at that point, you got us, he who controls the roof controls the dynamic of what goes on. So in 2016, we threw our hats in the mental health or the substance abuse space. And man, it was just so much that I learned about that business. But, you know, really keep in mind, especially when it comes to reentry, since this is a reentry podcast, you know, the main three things that people need when you come home, I don't care who it is. This is a formula. I used to do a podcast as well. It was called the Restore My Dignity Project before some life events changed. And basically it's three things that people need when they come home from prison. You need housing, you need mental health support, and hopefully, you know, you can entwine some substance abuse support in that as well. Those things, those three things, you know, if you don't have a substance abuse problem, that's cool. But mental health and substance and housing are key to reentry. Key, because guess what? If I come home and I ain't got nowhere to live, don't nothing else matter because now I'm in survival mode again.
Yeah.
You know, Wow. Now guess what? Now, just because I did 20 years or I did 3 years or I did 2 years and nothing didn't happen to me physically. However, my mind still takes mental snapshots of all of the things that happened. So mental health support is key to a person's success upon reentering society. And guess what? And if a person has had a substance abuse problem, clearly, you know, therefore that's where the substance abuse support comes in at as well. So the point that I'm making is, you know, really, I remember when I came home, you know, I followed everybody that was in a space, what they suggested. Don't get a job for a year. Don't do this. You know, just get a part-time job. Get your meetings and things like that. So a lot of people come home and they think, oh, man, I'm going to get a job and I'm going to do this. We think that a job is a panacea for all of society's ills or all of my problems. It's not.
Yep.
You know, a job ain't going, okay, all I need is the right job, the right girl, and the right car. That's not the case because anybody can go get a job, but can you keep a job?
It's not reality.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, and the main thing is, you know, you can't ignore your mental health because, you know, we think that, here I am, literally substance abuse owner. And one of the things that I started noticing was, man, you know, like I've had our program, we had over 800 clients come through. You know, wow. in the amount of time that we were open. And unfortunately, the percentage of success isn't what it should be. But the one common denominator is it's all mental health, especially with men. It's trauma. Yeah.
That's, you know, where it begins and ends with us.
What happened to me as a kid, you know, and therefore I carry this around. So somebody from the outside looking in, why is Keith still, he can't stay out of prison? Because you don't know what Keith deals with. It's not the Keith like prison. Keith just has some unresolved trauma that he hasn't addressed. And by him not addressing it, every time I come home, I make poor decisions because that takes my mind off of the trauma that I experienced as a kid. And I've been carrying this along all my life. And I've had cats, you know, because I was the same way. Fortunately, I got in front of my situation in the penitentiary. Yeah. And then, you know, when I would share my traumatic experiences, I'm in a high percentage of men that, you know, had those type of traumas as a young man, as a young child. And so many of us have experienced that. But as men, we wear this mask, especially in prison, you know, because prison is the craziest of places because everybody says leave your feelings home on the shelf. But everything is predicated off of feelings. You looked at me the wrong way. You disrespected me by doing this. And all that's emotional stuff. You know, you got to act off emotion. So it's an oxymoronic statement of saying, hey, leave your stuff at home. Leave your feelings at home. I'm supposed to have feelings about one thing, but not another thing. You know, again, and it could be so much that we have to deal with because, you know, really a good friend of mine, he just did maybe 12 in a federal system and it was a rough 12 for him. And then he told me, he said, bro, I made it rough for myself. But when you look at a yard full of guys, this is an angry place because look, the girl done me dirty. The girl done left me this, that, the third. So everybody's situation is the same. And now we all in this situation together, running off our feelings and emotions. See my point?
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, Brother Martin, in reference to, you know, your breakthrough, right? Because just listening to you, you talked about how, you know, you recognized that guys were talking about coming home and doing the same things, right? Yeah. And then you also mentioned that you knew that if you could do this sentence in prison, you could come home and nothing could stop you. So could you kind of touch on like your breakthrough and like, because everybody's facing some challenges, but that breakthrough is what puts you on the path that you're on right now and the man that you are today. So for the listeners who are returning citizens who may still battle with some substance abuse or whatever they may be going on, can you talk a little bit about that breakthrough, you know, and how that really like catapulted your success?
Yeah, my very first visit in the penitentiary visiting room. That was my very first epiphany. Because, man, it's interesting because, you know, I remember my mom, I had a cousin that was like older than me, but he was like my mother's little brother. And I remember, man, when I was young, you know, him and my mother were very tight. And we would go over to the penitentiary. And we would go in that visiting room. And man, I'm gonna tell you, man, I had to be 5, 6, 7. And I'm going to tell you, when I came up on the opposite side as a prisoner, man, that thing looked the exact same. The chessboard was still in the glass cabinet where it was. Now, I'm on the opposite side of it as a prisoner now. Right. But I remember I was here when I was 5 to 7 years old. So that's what did it for me. And then one of the main things for me was I kept, you know, at that time, you know, of course I was addicted to drugs. So, of course, I'm 60 days here, 30 days here. A year suspended here, 2 years suspended here, you know. So I was always in and out. This was just my longest, this was my first prison sentence, my first bit. So at that time, I had already knew, like, man, the first opportunity I can get to get a break away from the drugs, because I was the type of guy, every time I would get locked up, I never used it in prison. And I never wanted to use when I came home, but I had no information when I came home to do anything different. So what do I wind up doing? I'm in an insanity cycle. I'm going back to the same neighborhood, expecting a different result. And that happened so much because of lack of information. And I knew me personally that like, nah, man, wait up, man. It's too much. I got too much living. This isn't the final hurrah for me. Like, okay, you wanted to get here so bad. You know what I mean? Now you're here, you see the same for you, what you want to do when you get home. And that was really my breakthrough.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So seem like you, not seem, you are a serial entrepreneur. You know,
yeah, man.
Shorts, clothes, cars, and sure. You know, the nonprofits. And I know you're doing another nonprofit. So if you want to talk about that nonprofit, you know, you're open to do that.
Yeah, thank you. So the big thing, my focus now is, and it's been for the last 4 years, a lot of people know me. They probably see me in the media a lot, you know, really waving the advocacy sign. So my son Jordan had passed back in 2018, University of Maryland football player, had a heat stroke, first day of football practice. And man, it's interesting because I literally was with a group of brothers, some police officers, some other brothers that were reentering citizens, literally like a week prior to, we were looking at some reentry efforts in the city of Baltimore. You know, this is what the group I was a part of. And then my son got, you know, he got injured on the football field. Unfortunately, he passed 2 weeks later. But one of the main things was, you know, My son had a heat stroke, and I had no clue about anything. My son, all I know is my son, 6'5 football player, lifelong athlete. He was not me. I was determined that you ain't got to, I call it dummy tax. You ain't got to pay none of this dummy tax, because I'd have paid it all for you, man. So, you know, really, I was very, very focused on his success. So when this happened to him, man, like really, you know, it just really like, man, changed my whole world. You know, one of the main things I kept asking was, if I didn't know these things about a heat stroke and I didn't know these, I just asked the two questions that every parent in America usually asks when it comes to sports. Can he play and why isn't he playing? You know, 2 days, I tell everybody 2 days, a couple of days prior to him signing his letter of intent or recruitment letter during the recruitment process, I asked the coach, you know, from University of Maryland at that time, can he get some playing time and what's your support around mental health and substance abuse? Because that was my space. And that was it. I didn't think to ask any questions regarding in the event my son get hurt, what type of systems, emergency, all the questions I ask now in regards to student athlete safety, or I encourage other parents to ask. You know, I had no idea about none of this. But the interesting thing, a lot of people that don't know, and I'm glad you guys asked, this was an ideal transition. People don't know. A lot of people don't know I was already in the advocacy space. Like, I'm just telling you, I was a reentry advocate. You know, a very, very dedicated reentry advocate. So when my son passed, the trajectory of my advocacy just changed. And, you know, here we are now, 4 years later. We got our fourth law passed that went in effect on July the 1st. And man, when I tell you, it's really been we got a national platform. Unfortunately, you know, so many kids are still dying from these same types of sports injuries. It always boils down to the same thing. But again, we never hear about these things because they're usually in geographical areas that, you know, we've never heard of. West Texas, New Orleans, it's in somebody's city versus a national platform. And our national platform really allows us to really help a lot of people and really to educate a lot of people in regards to these type of injuries. And we really advocate around heat-related injuries, but we really advocate also around emergency action plans, because that's usually the consistent denominator, or the least common denominator in all these deaths across the nation. Did they have one? Was one practice? And for those of us that really don't know what an EAP is, it's the equivalent of a fire drill. You know, guess what? We all know if we work somewhere, they'll run a fire drill every now and then. However, the potential for a fire to happen happens every day when you walk out on the sports field, whether it's football, basketball, anytime you play kids in sports. The potential for something to happen is very, very high. And you want to have the right systems in place that you don't have to think about what to do. You know what to do all the time. You know, like we need this a very, very fluid process. Like, hey, this is what we're going to do, because it's not a matter of what is going to happen, what's going to happen. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen. And that's what we really advocate around those type of things from like that.
Yeah, sorry for your loss, and you know, thank you for sharing too, bro. So I did want to, you know, I know we talked about this before, and I know this is a podcast for return to citizens, but you know, hey, it's your story, and I think you know, this is part of your story. So you know, thank you for sharing that. Yeah. I do want to transition to the entrepreneurship piece. You know, so you've been a serial entrepreneur, like I said before. I mean, you've had for profits, you have had nonprofits. You know, what advice would you give to somebody? For those individuals that are returning home, as well as those individuals who may have been home for 10 or more years, as it relates to entrepreneurship.
Yeah. So what I would suggest anybody, especially if it's a new entrepreneur, you know, everybody looks like they're doing well. Everybody look like they're getting some money, you know. And again, the main thing is, you know, yeah, a lot of times it just depends, you know, depending on what type of business you get in. I got into a business where our hearts were in the right place. We weren't genuinely helping people. We weren't chasing the money at that time. The money came because our hearts were in the right place. Yeah. Now, the main thing I just suggest to anybody, you know, really do your research first, you know, do your research first, you know, do what you think you should do. And don't be scared, because guess what? You know, really, like I said, I took the real estate exam 7 times and I got my life. And it wasn't even about selling real estate. It was about passing the test at that point. But I got my real estate license.
It took me, I'm a license 82 took me four times, so you got me right, by three. Exactly. I thought right. that was a lot.
Exactly, right. So the main thing was, you know, really, and then at that time when I got mine, it was an 09. You couldn't give a house away at that point. You know, the market had crashed. But I just was really, you know, very, very focused to not let that thing defeat me. But the main thing is, you know, to newer entrepreneurs, do your research. You know, I know everybody looks like they get money and everybody looks like, you know, hey, y'all look like they doing well. Do your research, because a lot of times looks can be very, very deceiving, or we can only see the good parts of a successful business. You're not going to see, you know, yeah, I talked about a successful business for 8 years, but keep in mind, you know, really, you know, I never really talked about, you know, how some of them days, you know, me and my business partner, we might scrounge and scrape, you know, and it was like, it's a process to get to that level of success. I don't care what your business is. That's you know, right. A lot of times nothing happens overnight. So I think that, you know, really just kind of have a realistic plan, an incremental plan, right? That's the main thing. I didn't go from, hey, I'm doing what I'm doing now 25 years ago. Man, when I came home, I had a job. I made $100 a week, even though that was a long time ago, but it was a part-time job and it met my needs.
It's a process.
Yeah, it's a process. It's an incremental process. Now, for the business owner that's been in business, you know, I mean, been home for 10 or more years, I still say, just do your research, you know, do your research. And, you know, a lot of times, obviously, you know, if the older we get, the less money we got to play with and the less time we got to mess around with it, right? The less time we have to waste.
Yeah.
So I think, again, do your research, you know, I'm a firm believer in, hey, you know what, you know, if you play on the team, you like playing on the team. If you like playing on it, coach the team. If you like coaching it, you know, you may be ready to become an owner at that point. So I just think that, you know, really do your thorough research and your market research, because, you know, everybody can't, you know, a lot of things just seem easy, but what's going to sustain you in business and what's the realities of staying in business? You know, a lot of times, you know, with me, my big thing was, you know, I had a successful mom and pop and my business partner, but the thing is, it's hard to deal with employees. That's the challenging part of any small time entrepreneur, getting good employees. We're not corporate America. A lot of times we can't offer the benefits and all these things to corporate America. So we got to be constantly, you know, trying to be creative to keep a client, keep an employee. So a lot of times, you know, it's not about hiring people. It's just a matter of hiring quality people and keeping quality people. That's really the key to success.
All right. Good deal. All right. So good deal with that, Marty. So is there a way that people can reach out to you to learn more about, you know, entrepreneurship, but more importantly, the Jordan McNair Foundation?
Yeah, man. Please, man. I encourage everybody. Of course, we're on all of the social media sites. I'm on Instagram, Jordan McNair, Facebook, Jordan McNair Foundation. I'm sorry. Facebook, Jordan McNair Foundation. LinkedIn for the professional crowd, the Jordan McNair Foundation. Twitter, you know, I mean, this is just a central part of business right now. Anybody, you know, I try to get people go to my YouTube channels, you know, and look at some of the videos that we produce, you know, just in regards to the work that we do. So that's the Jordan McNair Foundation YouTube channel. You got the contact information. And I'm the type of guy, you DM me, I'm probably going to get back to you within a day or two anyway. So, you know, I'm not that, I'm accessible for the, you know, for the right cause and the right reasons.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. So anything else you want to add before we close out?
Yeah, man, I tell everybody, you know, especially coming home, you know, man, the main thing is, you know, really, and it's funny because so many of us, we can come home and we can get so caught up in everybody else's expectations. Oh man, you know, this is, you know, such and such, man, you've been gone 10 years. Let me tell you this. If any of your friends haven't done anything without you in 10 years, they ain't the ones you even need to be hanging with.
Absolutely.
Guess what? You want millions, you hang around millionaires. You want success, you have to hang around successful people. And it's just that simple. I mean, try to come out of our comfort zones, get some new information to be successful. And most importantly, it's an organic process. It's an incremental process. Rome wasn't built overnight. And I guarantee you, if you did have overnight success, you probably wouldn't even be prepared to deal with it anyway, because you don't know the process of it. So I encourage everybody, you know, give yourself an opportunity to be successful. And I think, you know, you're well on your way with those things right there.
All right, man. Much appreciated. All right, Leon, any final thoughts?
Nah, man, this was awesome. Thanks for the great insight and wisdom. You know, my takeaway is just enjoy the journey. You know, that's my takeaway from everything you mentioned is just enjoy the process. You know, don't look too far. Don't look too ahead. Just, you know, stay in the now and just be diligent, you know. So that's kind of what I took from this episode. And, you know, I'm truly grateful for you, brother. And I'll be touching base with you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
All right, sir. Good.
Thanks for having me, guys. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Marty McNair.
Yes, sir.
The Jordan McNair Foundation. Don't forget to follow us on IG. We at Ride Small Biz. We also have a website, edacmorgan.com. That's edacmorgan.com. You can listen to all of the past episodes of the Breakthrough Podcast there. And until we meet again, continue to improve and progress. Peace.
And progress. Sir, peace.
This is Mixed Lab Production.